Hey, you're listening to the Becoming Known podcast, where we believe that your work is worthy of recognition. Fear is a liar, and owning the spotlight is the most powerful way for you to build your brand. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Here's your host, Candace Hickman.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another week here on the Becoming Known podcast. Today, we have Rob Mack on the show with us. You may recognize Rob's name from the TV show Famously Single on E!, where he serves as a celebrity love coach. Rob's also the author of the book Happiness from the Inside Out and the host of Good Morning La La Land. He's been a featured expert for shows like The Today Show, Good Morning America, Entertainment Tonight, MTV, Fox, magazines like Self, Glamour, Cosmopolitan. If you're still not impressed, the guy's been endorsed by Oprah. I mean, come on, Rob. What does it even take for you to get endorsed by Oprah? What does this mean?
Oh, Candace, I feel like I need to Venmo you a check. The money right away, because those compliments are so, I fully received them. And at the same time, you know, inside I'm still that, you know, most shy guy of my high school class, you know, but yeah.
That's so.
Just appreciate so much.
Yeah, of course. Hey, it's so, I mean, it's so impressive from like an outside view when you sit there and you read all these places that you've been featured and all of these, you know, quote unquote status, you know, things that kind of stack up behind your name, you know, and that's really interesting. I'd love to actually hear a little bit about that story since you opened the gate for it, of kind of how you really got your start. So you say you were a shy child.
It's a great question. Yeah. So I was a really shy kid. I probably didn't speak until I was about 13. I may have said a few things here and there. It's not that I couldn't speak. It's just that I was so insecure and shy and full of anxiety. I was very depressed, actually. And as I got older, I became increasingly depressed. You know, and then I eventually went to undergrad. I went to Swarthmore in Philadelphia. And I remember feeling like I always thought that college was supposed to be this experience, like this, it was supposed to be this social education. And for me, it wasn't at all because I was surrounded by other really brilliant people, but they also were somewhat socially awkward. And, you know, I just didn't. So I made a decision at that point in time that I really needed to develop my personality. And I learned how to connect with people in a deeper, fuller, more authentic way. And I needed to get outside of my shell. So I just started doing little things to begin, you know, lubricating the social wheel, so to speak, of my life.
That's interesting that you were kind of in college able to kind of make that contrast in your life. Was there a specific experience that was happening at the time that made you, man, I've got to do something different here?
Oh my goodness. I think it's, for most of us, it's always about the women, right? Like as a guy, as a straight guy, I'm like, you know, it was honestly about meeting girls. And I remember thinking, man, I'm not meeting girls at all. And I'm, you know, 20 years old and this is crazy. I'm still shy and I feel intimidated to talk to anyone. And I really need to learn, you know, to go beyond this. So it was really just the most primitive desire to speak to women and to be more comfortable about it and more confident in that. But it was also, you know, I wanted to be more confident in my delivery presentations in class. And I wanted to be able to, you know, take interviews with companies and, you know, sort of deliver successfully and effectively in those interviews. So it was really just a, even though it was mostly about girls in the beginning, it was really about how can I connect with people in a way that's comfortable and confident and authentic.
Yeah, which seems like a really natural progression towards happiness, you know, and I would really love to know just broadly kind of why this worked for you, because I know that you have been labeled as like the celebrity love coach. And but, you know, you and I have had a conversation before. We met at the gym. My husband introduced us and we had this conversation. You said to me, you know what, Candace, is really about happiness. And so I would love to know just like why happiness, like why this worked for you.
Yeah, it's such a great point. So, you know, as I was experiencing all this like social ineptness and awkwardness, I mean, at a deeper level, I was just really, truly, seriously unhappy. And I had been unhappy for as long as I remember living, right? So at some point in time, I got to a place where I was so deeply depressed that I seriously contemplated suicide. And I remember researching all the means and methods and ways to commit suicide. And I eventually decided I was going to slice my wrist. And I remember going into the kitchen and getting the kitchen knife and digging it into my wrist because I wanted to see how painful it was going to be. And, you know, that was a pretty dramatic moment for me. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, something strange happened. You know, when I had this deeply depressed suicidal moment, I experienced at the same time this sense of serenity and peace and even bliss that washed over me. And I noticed that my life was no different on the outside, right? So objectively speaking, I had a pretty good life. At the time, I was working for a consulting firm and I had a girlfriend. She was great. We didn't get along that well, but she was great. She really was. And
in
I had a healthy
in retrospect.
Family. Yes, in retrospect. That's right. Exactly, Candace. So, you know, I really had nothing, you know, bad, quote unquote, or anything to complain about. And so that even in some ways made it worse because I thought my life is objectively great, but subjectively on the inside, I feel terrible for it. Mm-hmm. So when I had this experience of peace washing over me in the midst of this suicidal like ideation, I sort of decided to postpone suicide for at least a few hours while I looked into it. And that's all it was in the beginning, was just a postponement. And then as time went on, those few hours slipped into a day, slipped into a week, it slipped into a month, slipped into several years. That's not to say that I didn't, you know, experience suicidal ideation, within those years. But I just started doing more and more research around or about depression and suicide and happiness and unhappiness. And I discovered some really surprising details and studies and facts and interesting information about depression and suicide. And one of the most interesting things I discovered was that most, you know, despite how much progress we've made in the last 70 years now, at the time it was only 50 years or so, but in the last 70 years, we've experienced unprecedented growth technologically. Folks are living longer now than ever, and they're living healthier now than ever. We're better connected technologically than ever. In large part, you know, life has gotten better. The quality of life is improved. And yet at the same time, while we're experiencing all this progress, we've also, you know, we're also experiencing unprecedented levels of loneliness and anxiety and depression. And the average onset, the average age of onset for the first bout of depression used to be about 29 and a half years of age in about 1950. And now it's like 13 and a half, right? So that means 13-year-olds are fiercely depressed, clinically depressed. And not only that, but they're often contemplating and committing suicide. So when I started to recognize and realize that there was something going on in the world that mirrored what was going on within me, and that they were calling it the progress paradox, and that there were folks that were dedicating their lives and their work to preventing depression and to helping people live happier, healthier, wealthier lives from the inside out, I knew I wanted to be a part of that, right? Mm-hmm. So I found a program at Penn, and the program at Penn is a master's in applied positive psychology, and I matriculated into that program and hence started my happiness coaching business.
I find this whole story just, it's so powerful because I feel like we see it time and time again when people actually hit that, it's either that low or it's the actual complete contrasting point in life that helps them to see, like if they felt like they were ignored, then they suddenly realize they want to be known. If they felt like they were so miserable and suicidal, they suddenly realize that they wanted to be happy. It's like this power of contrast in this story. And I think
So good. That's so good. And you know, I think you and I spoke a little bit about Abraham Hicks, and Abraham Hicks actually was probably my first quote unquote teacher in terms of happiness. And I remember being introduced to Abraham Hicks through a partner who worked at the consulting job that I initially took out of undergrad. And he gave me a children's book and he, you know, said, hey, check this out. And I remember thinking, man, he must think that I'm not very bright. Like, he gave me a children's book, I'm 21 years old. And I remember reading the children's book and it was profound because, and one of the points that was made in the book was that, you know, it's all about contrast and that, you know, the sweet wouldn't be nearly as sweet without the bitter. And the good wouldn't be nearly as good without the quote unquote bad. And that it's the contrast that makes life so beautiful. So the point you make there is profound.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that this is a really good kind of segue into the topic of becoming known, because I feel like, you know, a lot of the times, you know, the becoming known that we talk about on this show is kind of public recognition, but there is this part of becoming known as well that's actually about you becoming known to yourself, and that you also kind of recognizing, you know, that you do have gifts that are worthy of recognition and talents that are worthy of recognition. And I just think to myself in that place, you know, with your background and your experience in working with individuals in the area of happiness, why do you believe that, you know, becoming known is actually important to people, and also at the same time that it's so difficult to admit, you know, especially when you're in that place of like, you know, just kind of feeling down on yourself?
Wow, what a great question, Candace. Boy, this is why you do what you do. I love it. I love, first of all, you saying that becoming known is mostly, or first and primarily, about, you know, sort of knowing yourself. And that for me is like probably as much a life lesson and a life part of my life journey as anything, is just knowing myself, right? And so, of course, it starts there. And I would say that, you know, particularly with helping professionals, it may be true with creatives as well, but I can speak for helping professionals. I think as a helping professional, there's often this misconception that helping others means sacrificing yourself. There's some level of self-sacrifice, this belief in self-sacrifice that we have sort of linked to, you know, our job and our profession. And so to the extent that we feel like we might not be sacrificing ourselves and putting ourselves second or last, I think a lot of helping professionals, you know, feel like they might be doing their clients or the world a disservice. But I found just the opposite of that to be true, that, you know, to the extent that I can do what I need to do for me, and I can, first of all, know myself better, I can then share what I know a lot more effectively and efficiently, and therefore help everybody else too. So it's sort of like the stronger you get, the more you can lift, the more you can help other people. And so but you know, you're so right. And it's a constant conversation that I have consistently with either clients or friends or family members, you know, sort of this idea of like self-promotion versus humility and confidence, and versus, you know, remaining humble. And it's very challenging. I know for me too, part of it was, you know, I was raised in a religious household. And so there was sort of like this Protestant ethic, you know, even Judeo-Christian ethic, an idea around what it means to be humble and how important it is to be humble, and that it often means not talking about yourself, not talking too much about what you do, but instead focusing on other people. And I think that's a half-truth in there, but I think there's a deeper, fuller understanding, one that you're actually doing an incredibly phenomenal job of sharing with people and helping people to understand more fully, you know, that it's not one or the other. You can share what you do, and in fact, you should share what you do, but you can share it in a way that uplifts, inspires, excites other people, and benefits other people by doing so.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. And you know what? I'm like, while you're talking, I'm getting all excited, you know, about what you're saying, because the thing that I have found, that the biggest issue that people have when they go back to this thing about humility, is that they have forgotten that the work that we do is not about us. And so when you're sitting in that place of being like, well, I'm not going to do this because I want to stay humble, you at that point are working from a place of, me becoming known is for my own good. Whereas you becoming known is not for your good, it's for the good of the people that you're here on this planet to serve. And when you can make that shift in your mentality, and you know, I've had people come to me and say, oh my gosh, Candace, I have a really hard time bragging. And I'm like, okay, I love it when people brag though. And I love it when you brag in service of others, because look, even Jesus was known. Jesus traveled around the country. Multitudes of people came to see him. And he was known, and he served at a greater level, at a greater impact, because of his aptitude for service. And so I think that when we think, we sit there in that place of like, well, I want to be cocky, I don't want to be arrogant, and that trying to navigate the world of humility, you've actually forgotten in that moment that what you're doing and what we're doing here, Rob, it's not to serve ourselves, it's to serve the community at a large, you know?
Oh, Candace, preach. I love that. Like the way you expressed it so eloquently and so poignantly, and it's so powerful. And that's why it's not possible for you to ever have enough podcast episodes honestly, because it's a reminder that we need to hear over and over and over again. And it's especially true, you know, I saw this study not too long ago, and it was basically saying that the most successful leaders in the world were the ones who were most confident, right? Mm-hmm. But they weren't rated as the most competent, right? That in fact, the most competent folks were least confident, and therefore least successful, you know, so I started thinking about that and said, you know, part of the challenge is when you are very competent, you often see both your weaknesses and your strengths. You're much more circumspect about things. And in a way, that's fine and that's well and good. But if you stop there, then you never get to share with people how you can truly and deeply and fully help them. And therefore you put the governor limitations on yourself. And I just think I did that for a long time, and I still have to check myself. And thank goodness for, you know, the reminders that you offer, Candace, both through the podcast but also just through conversations that I've got to have with you. You know, I am reminded of the importance of sharing what I feel I can do well and what I can do well for others. It's really about other people. And so you've said it so well, I don't think I can add anything to it, but I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And I love the Jesus metaphor reminder there, because you're absolutely right about that. You know, I think there's a way too, right? And there's a way of sort of sharing what you're good at, your strengths, your accomplishments, how you can be in service to others, that also I think is more palatable, you know, and that it's more digestible for people and more appealing. Mm-hmm. You know, and you see people do that all the time. I call that my private practice with the executives, they call it executive presence. But there's a skillful, artful way to toot your own horn in a way that benefits others and is in service to others, that is also appealing and interesting and just palatable.
Absolutely. I think a lot of that has to do with your energetics as well, you know, like how you show up energetically to the conversation. Yeah, I love all this.
Totally.
Rob, and I do want to dive in a little bit here as well, because, you know, this is such a great conversation, you know, but I would love to hear a little bit about your becoming known story, and this from kind of a superficial level, you know, like the becoming known from the standpoint of like how you actually found yourself, like landing all of these roles and these media appearances and the host of this show, and let's hear all about your becoming known story.
Yeah, great question. So let's see. Came out of undergrad, started working with a consulting firm, realized I didn't love it. I was also depressed. I found this program at Penn, the Master's in Applied Positive Psychology, started getting me on a track that I knew was more sort of in alignment with my soul's sort of desire, sort of my purpose and passion in life. And as I began doing that, in order to pay for that program, and I had actually for a period of time, I did an MBA program before that, in order to pay for both these programs, I actually started working in the entertainment business. So I started as a model. I ended up working as a model for about 10 years. And I started dabbling a little bit in acting. Well, in the process, you know, I wasn't all that committed to acting, but I was committed to the modeling. And I loved it. It was enjoyable. It was easy. I get to read when I wasn't shooting. And I ended up booking a role on a show on the CW. The show was called South Beach. It was a short-lived TV series. And it starred Vanessa Williams and some other folks. And one of the scenes that I had was I played opposite her. I played an abusive model boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember having the scene, and I sort of didn't see her for probably several months. And I ran into her one day on Lincoln Road in Miami Beach. And we just connected and we started talking. And from there, you know, I started sharing what I was really interested in doing. And as I opened my private practice, she was great. She would share with other people that there was this guy and he's, you know, great about helping people experience more peace and love and happiness in their life. So she was instrumental in that part. She also wrote the foreword to Happiness from the Inside Out. When I was going to that program at Penn, I was actually, I'd actually already finished a book on happiness, but the Penn program allowed me to add some scientific and empirical data to the book. When I met Vanessa, I sort of was in the process of publishing that book. So published that book through New World Library. That helped. So the interesting thing about writing a book is, first of all, you never feel like you're finished with it. The second thing is that you sometimes experience other types of windfalls that you wouldn't have expected when you first set out to write the book, especially if it's your first one. So for me, I thought, oh, I'm going to write this book and I'll make some money off of it. Well, that's true. But actually, one of the things that came about from writing the book and publishing it was I booked two spokespersons and gigs. So one was for Microsoft and one was for Carnival. They were in two separate years. So the first one for Microsoft, I basically went to Times Square and they streamed in these talk shows all over the world. So I would, or all over the United States, really. So I would just stand there for 8 hours and say, hey, I'm in Times Square and it's about New Year's and, you know, Microsoft's got this new thing going on and I'm an author and I've written this book. And so I got to sort of share the work I do and the book I wrote and I get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And, I get to just basically spread the word on sort of all my work. And so I get to do that 2 years in a row. That helped a lot, move things along. And then as I was just continuing to go about my work, I was coaching folks and I was doing little seminars and workshops, mostly throughout Miami. I met a woman in an airport and a really good friend of mine to this day. And it turns out, we just stayed friends. She was sad one day and I talked to her in that airport and we just maintained contact, no big deal. And then 10 years later, she called me and she said, hey, Rob, I am working. I don't know if you know what kind of work I do. I'm like, I kind of think you're doing something in reality TV. She's like, yeah. She's like, well, there's this, TV show that we're producing for E! And they're looking for a relationship coach. And I know that you talk to a lot of people about relationships, right? Is that kind of, and I was like, yeah, that's actually what I do. And she said, well, they're interviewing folks, so you might as well throw your hat in the ring and see what happens. So I interviewed with the folks and that show later became Famously Single. And did that for two seasons. So I was a dating coach for Famously Single for two seasons. You know, the interesting thing about that is I actually, in the very beginning of my career, I pursued TV, but I had since put it down. So the first couple of years, I pursued it. I didn't really like the direction of it. Most of the TV shows, I felt like they wanted to exploit people. They wanted to take me, really a helping professional by trade, and make me do some things that I wasn't comfortable doing. I never want to hurt anyone's feelings. I never want to, I'm only in the business of serving people and helping people. And so I decided to put TV aside for a while. And it was interesting that as I did that, I let that go and just focused on the work and focused on the message and focused on service, that these other things sort of came along on their own. Mm-hmm. I have to say that I haven't been incredibly strategic about how to get my name out there. I had agents in the beginning and I had the publisher and I had a publicist for a while and everything like that. And they were fantastic. And yet lots of the things that have happened to me in terms of the positive things from a success or professional perspective have sort of come as I've just focused on what I love, on sharing what I can do for other people and just doing it to the best of my ability. And that comes easily for me because I'm so passionate about it. Mm. That did the e-show for 2 years. And then after that, we didn't get a third season, but I had a friend who I met like 10 years ago or 14 years ago in Miami, my friend, Dr. Aaron. And she called me and said, hey, Rob, I know that you're out here in LA. I was wondering, thinking about doing a morning show focused on positivity and inspiration. Would you be interested in co-hosting it with me and maybe one other person? And I said, well, that sounds fantastic. I love the idea of that. And so we started Good Morning La La Land, which has been now on the air for about 13 months. Mm. So it's sort of been my story.
Rob, you don't even, you're like throwing out these lessons like in this story. And I'm like, man, he doesn't even hear the lessons he's throwing down. One of the biggest lessons, and something that I talk to people about all the time is the fact that building relationships is building a brand. And, we're in this like social media, this digital age where we think that all of our branding exists on an online platform. And the reality is, from day one, from 13 years ago, you meet somebody and you coach them in the airport and you think you're just listening, but really, you know, she's seeing that as, you know, this guy is great when it comes to talking about relationships. I remember how he made me feel. You have Vanessa Williams, who is a celebrity. You've left this huge impression upon her. And then you go on and so it's relationship after relationship after relationship. And they're in person, they're important in-person relationships that you are cultivating and nurturing to the point that people then want to support you. And I've said this to you before we even hit record on the podcast, but I've actually listened into different podcasts that you've been on, and I have watched you on Good Morning La La Land, and something that I think is really sensational about who you are as an individual, as an interviewer, as a host, is that you listen. Like, you take this back seat and you listen to people in a way that when you make somebody else the center of the universe, if even for a moment, they're going to remember you because wow, he was such a cool guy, but all you did was gave them a platform. And I feel like I'm seeing this thread throughout your story of you, you know, providing this platform for this woman in the airport to be able to speak to you. And so then she thinks you're wonderful, and you're doing this throughout this is, everybody that's listening, this is powerful. Like, what he's saying is powerful, because when you can nurture relationships, when you can, you never know how God is aligning things for you in your future.
Powerful, Candace. Yeah. That is so powerful. You know, you just nailed it. First of all, thank you for saying that. And I fully receive that. That's also something I've learned along the way, to receive the compliment. And so thank you so much for that. And, you know, I think, look, light recognizes light, Candace, and it's one of your sweet spots. It's one of your countless gifts. It really is. And I like the way you sort of described it. You know, my whole life, I think I probably only wanted to be listened to. When I was young, at least, I wanted to be listened to. But I noticed that people were much more interested in talking. And that was, and right, and I get that. We're all interested in sort of sharing our stories and our experiences. And it is so true. I mean, in fact, to your point, I remember sitting on the set of Famously Single, and I was just sitting there, and I didn't say a whole lot. You know, there was a therapist, and she was sort of the host of the show, and there was another dating coach, Laurel, who I do Man Whisperer with, and myself, and we were sitting there, and you know, the other two ladies were had really fantastic things to say, and they were sharing things, and I was just sitting, listening, and taking it in, and I remember thinking, not thinking at all, to be honest with you, just listening. And I remember at the end of this series, you know, once we finished rapping for that first season, you know, I had this guy, one of the guys, come up to me, Callum, actually, and he said to me, "Rob, there is just something so incredibly special about you, and you barely even said like 10 words like the entire time." And he said, "But there's just," and we all felt that way, and we'd all like to get to know you a lot more. And I remember thinking, first of all, I'm aware it's not me. Maybe there's something that flows through, you know, at my best, I'm a transparency. So maybe life itself, God itself, source itself flows through me, and they feel that it's nothing I can. And that was the first thing I thought right away, is that, okay, I appreciate this very much, and yet it's not me. But on the second level, I also remember thinking, isn't that fascinating that we work so hard at getting people to like us or approve of us or accept us, and we could probably make a lot faster, better progress if we took interest in them and liked them and looked for things within them that we were curious about or found interesting. And if we just spent more time in silence and in full, complete presence, right? Not thinking, not talking, just listening and just being. And, you know, it's been one of the greatest lessons I've been taught, that I've learned in my life. And it's the one that I continue wanting to teach and embody. So Candace, for you to say that is the highest compliment, truly.
Yeah, you know, you do have something very special about you. And I think to that point, you know, of allowing God to flow through you, I think that that is the factor. I think that that's the X factor. And I think that that comes through really clearly in who you are and in your personality. And so it's very much a pleasure to speak with you. Hey, Rob, I have one kind of last question before we wrap up here. And it's super lighthearted, but I know that people are probably yes. like, dude, she didn't ask anything about Famously Single.
We'll have a follow-up. We'll have a follow-up.
I feel like we need to do a part two. I'm like looking at the time like, oh, I guess right. we should wrap up, but I could probably talk to you for another 2 hours here. Okay. So who, I have a light part and a heavy part to the question, but I think you'll enjoy okay. them both. The light part is, who was your favorite celebrity on Famously Single, and what did they teach you about love?
Wow. Wow, Candace. So that's a really, really challenging question. And I would, it's like choosing your favorite child. I know people say that a lot, but it really is, because I truly, deeply loved and appreciated every cast member in both seasons. Like, truly. Like, I found something so special and so incredible about each of them. That being said, I would say that, you know, off the top of my head, Callum Best was one of the most interesting people to me, because he was so deep. I mean, he's really deep, and you don't always get to see that portrayed on camera, because, you know, it's meant to entertain people, and so they catch this moment in that moment. But, you know, I really had some deep conversations with Callum, and so I'd say that Callum was just really interesting and fascinating in that way. What did I learn about love from him? I would say that love is, it's about being full out, right? You're full tilt, about being wholehearted. So I'd say that's one of the things that I've always appreciated about him, and really, in fact, about most all of the cast members, is that, you know, when they go in, like, they're full in.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember mistakenly saying, "Hey, Rob," when I met you, "you're the host from that lovemaking show, right?"
Oh, that was great. Because you described it so well. It's essentially what it ultimately comes down to. It's like, you know, they make a lot of love, and they probably fight a lot. You know, that's kind of the way it goes.
They're all
that was
they're
awesome. All
I meant to say totally. Matchmaking, y'all. I meant to say matchmaking, but lovemaking yeah. is pretty accurate. Yeah. Hey, awesome. Hey, Rob.
Oh, you know who else I would mention real quick? Mm-hmm. Pauly D, by the way. He was phenomenal as well, off the top of my head. Pauly D was amazing. Very charismatic guy. Really interesting guy. And every cast member on both seasons were so much deeper than you would ever imagine. Like, you know, a lot of that, you know, you don't get to see on camera. You don't get to see in the actual show. But they're actually, all of them are a lot smarter than people give them any credit for.
Amazing. Well, I know Paulie D. I'm not sure about Callum, so I'm gonna have to go and check him out. So but I love that you kind of gave me a little bit of a depth to who he is before I go and do that. So thank you for that. Hey, absolutely. Rob, it has been a pleasure having you on today. And before we get off here, I would just love it if you would go ahead and share with everybody that is listening just a little bit about how they can connect with you. I don't know, do you have an ongoing, like, an open roster for coaching clients right now, or how does your business work?
Yeah, so great question. So everybody can find me at Rob Mack Official on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can also find me every morning between 9 and 10 a.m. Pacific time with Good Morning Lala Land. So you can go to Good Morning Lala Land on all social media platforms. You can also find my website at coachrobmack.com. And yeah, I have a full coaching roster now, but if folks are interested, if they're really passionate and they really want help, please just write me. You can write me through social media, ideally through Instagram, or you can write me through my website. And I will be sure to find a way to fit you in, like, and I will make it, you know, plenty worth your while. So yes, please reach out. My entire purpose and passion, the whole reason for living on this planet and this earth, is to help people experience a happier, healthier, and wealthier life from the inside out, with a real emphasis on happier. So reach out, let me know. And even if, you know, for some reason the coaching isn't a perfect fit, I have infinite resources to recommend. I have infinite people that I can refer you out to. You know, just let me know.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, everybody, make sure you go and connect with Rob. Even if you're not interested in coaching, he is a phenomenal guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him in person, and just the energy that you get as you're listening in over the podcast is the same energy that you'll get in person. He's a wonderful guy. So make sure you connect with him. And if you have found this episode to be enriching, we do encourage you to go ahead and leave a review. Every review that you leave is like a little bit of extra street cred for this podcast. And so the couple of seconds that it takes you to leave a review is very much appreciated. If you would like to connect further with other listeners of the podcast, you can go on over to Facebook, request access to the Becoming Known Podcast Insiders group. There you can ask your questions, continue on the conversation, and get to know us a little bit better. This has been a really fun episode. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in, and we will look forward to catching you back here next week for another episode of the Becoming Known Podcast. See you later, everybody.
Thanks again for listening to the Becoming Known Podcast, where we believe that your work is worthy of recognition, fear as a liar, and owning the spotlight is the most powerful way for you to build your brand. We'll see you back here next week for more tips to becoming known.